shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
We begin this time of worship and celebration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated for the readings of the Word of God.
Our Old Testament reading is recorded in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, reading from the 9th verse. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your right field up to the edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after the harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from the book of Colossians, first chapter, reading again from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand now for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, Jesus tells us how we prove ourselves a neighbor to others in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Holy Gospel is found in the book of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" he asked. He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we sing a hymn that is best to be in the house of the Lord.
Faith for you. within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. There is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, the nearest water in the world. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to talk this morning on the basis of the Word of God about a very, very strange incident in the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. Lots of you have heard this story before. It's about Jesus in his teaching up in Galilee, and he encountered this most unusual guy. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, the man had not worn clothes and had lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many years it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was there near to the tombs, and the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the sharp bank and into the lake and was drowned. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what a strange story. Certainly for those who observed this or were nearby, it was a most memorable moment. They'd never seen anything like this. The guy that Jesus encountered that day was a person that society and culture would have given up on. This guy's hopeless. Not much can be done for him. They probably tried every known physician for healing. They probably went to the wisest counseling gurus. Nothing worked. And in order to keep him from hurting himself or others, they shackled him in chains, hand and foot. Fear is a horrible thing. Being captive to thoughts or doubts or struggles can keep us from being what God wants us to be. It is like my son's dog named Xerxes. Xerxes was a rowdy dog, and he would frequently pop open the storm door, and he'd want to roam the neighborhood. And in the city of Decatur, there are leash laws that say you can't do that. You got to keep your dog under leash. And they would jump in the car and go after him, and of course, the closer they got to him, he'd run away, you know, and he loved just running wild. And after a few times, the dog catcher rounded him up and first brought him home because he had a tag on him, and then took him to the dog pound, and there was a fee for getting him back. So after going through this time and time again and being severely warned by the animal control guy, they decided to buy an invisible fence to put in their yard. You guys know what that is? Put a collar around the dog's neck, and if he goes beyond this line out here, he gets shocked. And there was a certain delight that my son and his wife took as he would run up to that fence and all of a sudden be brought to his knees, yelping and hollering because the electric shock just overwhelmed him. Well, that lasted, and pretty soon that dog learned where the boundaries were. And so my grandson, who's 5 years old, one day wanted to take the dog for a walk. He wanted to go out to the end of the lane and get the newspaper, and he said, well, we'll turn the electric fence off. But guess what? When they came to the boundary, even though there was no current there, no electricity there, when they came to that perceived boundary, the dog would go no further. He was afraid of what would happen. His fears held him captive from realities that no harm would come. In our world today, fear holds many people captive. Even Christian people who know the Lord who is Lord of heaven and earth, who are confident that our God controls everything, not a sparrow falls without his okay. A God who promised us victory, eternal victory, that nothing could separate us from his love. But we tend to live cautious lives, and we tend to worry about lots of things, and we tend to be significantly afraid of what might happen. And of course, Satan seizes upon our fears. We don't know what happened to this young man. He probably had terrible parents. Probably didn't have a very good set of genetics when he was born. And Satan moved into his life and controlled and paralyzed him with fears and doubts and uncontrollable instincts and nightmares and who knows what else, to the point where he was not even safe to walk around. Satan loves to move in and destroy people. He does so to this day. Satan works in our culture to lead us to think, well, we can manage life on our own. We don't really need God. We ourselves don't fully appreciate that because we were washed in the waters of baptism and God put his name upon us and his spirit lives within us. And our sponsors spoke for us and said, do you renounce the devil and all his works and ways? We said, oh yeah, we do. And so Satan does not have free reign in our lives. He works at us. But for many today, Satan works in them at will. Many people in our country, in the name of freedom, pass laws that are exactly contrary to what God wants. 1 million people a year we've killed through abortion for years and years, and we've done so proclaiming that we hold the moral high ground now today. We're the people who provide freedom, the freedom of individual choice, all the while enslaving people to their passions and the outcomes of their unhealthy decisions. You know, in the time of Abraham Lincoln, the Civil War proclaimed freedom to the slaves. But today, a new kind of slavery has come along. The Apostle Peter wrote about that in the second chapter of his second letter. He says, they, and namely the people of a worldly agenda, are the people with pseudo-religious concepts. They promise them freedom, but they themselves have become slaves to depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. And we continue to open the floodgates. Now we make even more available to ever, more available than ever, mind-altering substances that can, I can subdue any of my fears. I can overcome any of my struggles. I can smoke a little or drink a little more or whatever, and I'll be in great shape. Jesus said in John chapter 8, everyone who sins becomes a slave to sin. A slave there, that's a strong, strong word. Slavery is a bondage where you lose all control of your life. Sin takes over a life. And we really lose all freedom and control. But we don't know it. Sometimes we ourselves are held captive, thinking that in the name of freedom we can do what we want to do. And our standard of living is second to none today. And we want all the good things that life can offer. But in wanting all the good things, we sometimes lose sight of the best things in a sold-out walk with Jesus. Well, this guy with all these problems and issues encountered Jesus. And immediately the demons, they know who Jesus is. Our world doesn't know who Jesus is. We don't want anything to do with Jesus. Matter of fact, we've turned freedom of religion in our country to freedom from religion. And we're trying to push God way to the back burner. So we don't need him anymore. We can manage life on our own. But the demons know who Jesus is. And they cry out, what do you want to do with us? We know who you are. You are the Son of the Most High God. You have authority over us. Whatever you say, we must do. Please don't send us into the abyss. Don't send us to hell prematurely. Wait for the day of judgment. And so, the first thing that we do when we deal with our fears and our worries and our doubts and the things that enslave us, the sin in our lives, is We bring it to the light of Jesus. John wrote in the opening chapter, speaking about Jesus when he would come, he says that he came to be the light. But people love darkness rather than light and would not come into the light for fear that their deeds would be exposed, for their deeds were evil. But Jesus says, depart from this man. And he sent those demons into the herd of pigs. In dialogue with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, when Jesus said these words, if the Son sets you free, you'll be really free. And the Jews said to him, well, we've never been slaves to anyone. You know, we're strong, educated, well-rounded people. We got the Old Testament memorized. We know what we're doing, and we've not been slaves to anyone. How are you going to make us free? Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. When Jesus went to the cross, and he hung there, and among his final words were these words, it is finished. Means it's fully paid for, tetelestai in the Greek. It means every hold or grip of sin on human life has been broken. When I was a kid, I grew up with the fear of the water. And I had that fear because when I was, 8 or 10 years old, my cousins, who were good swimmers, tried to convince me that I could jump off into deep water off the dock and that I would come up. And so, peer pressure is a strong thing, and I finally jumped off into deep water, and I was paddling, and I looked up, and there's water. And I kept paddling, and I looked up, and there's more water. And I kept paddling, and there's still water. Finally, I did come up, and they handed me an inner tube, and I finally felt safe again. But it created in me a great fear of the water. And it took a long time to overcome those fears, because that fear can hold you captive. All of us have some of those. First time I went in an MRI tube, I began to understand what an anxiety attack was and didn't really realize I was claustrophobic until that point, and just knotted up, and I said, help, get me out of here, I can't deal with this, and a horrible fear. Fears are powerful things, but fear falters in the face of Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Paul wrote to the Galatians, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand therefore, stand firm, and do not let submit yourselves again to be burdened with the yoke of slavery. Friends, even believers today struggle with freedom. In the church, we tend to complain about, things aren't like they used to be. And we complain about our culture, Here they go again, raising the gas tax. My goodness, we're going to have to, we can only drive 20 miles from home because we won't be able to afford to go anywhere. And, it just makes us angry. And, I encounter people every day. They're moving out of the state of Illinois. They just say, I've had it, I'm done with it. I'm going to move to Tennessee or I'm going to Florida, where they don't have income tax and all these taxes. And I want to challenge you to say, this is where God called us. We need to be the light shining on a hill where we are. In this church, we need to have great excitement and enthusiasm. We need to believe that God can yet do greater things than ever through us. And we fall prey to fears of what's going to happen. Now, how's the future of our congregation going to unfold? We complain and we get negative, and we become a slave to our own fears about the future. As Christians, we sometimes feel that way even about the faith in our land. And we say, look at everywhere. Church attendance is going down. Atheism is on the rise. And people have become agnostic. And we see our children as they continue to grow up in this confused world. And we have anxieties for them. And are they going to hold true to the faith? And I would simply remind you again, Jesus has come to set you free. And you and I are the bearers of that freedom. When we kneel before the altar today at the Lord's table and he says, this is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, is that you might live a life above fear and worry and guilt and be people alive and excited and prepared to let the love of Jesus shine through you and impact this community and this culture and this state and this world. Because for freedom, Christ has set you free. And so I want you to ask yourselves today, have we fallen in love with the comforts of this life? Have we said, well, I don't know what's going to happen, and I worry about how it's going to, but I'm going to enjoy the good life while I can. And we orient our life toward sports and towards pleasures and towards, spending the winters in Florida. I know I'll step on some toes, but whatever we want to, we look forward to the good life because we've paid our dues. Do we have little burden for those lost in the slavery to sin? We live around those people. I live around those people. Last night, my daughter was attending her class reunion, and about 10 o'clock at night, she gives me a call and said, I'm here talking to Nate Blessy, a member of our congregation in Decatur, and she said, this kid that Nate has befriended, but he sent him a text tonight, and it said, goodbye, Nate, and he texted him back. No answer. This kid has lost every job he's ever had. He has lots of struggles in life. And so I thought, well, I don't know what that means. So I got on the phone and I called his grandma's house, and he picked up the phone and had a chat with him. And I could text him back and say, no, he really is okay. But he is feeling very down. Life is full of people who are feeling very down. Our culture, our city, our county is full of people who are trying to do life without Jesus, but it doesn't work because sin always enslaves. Do we care? Do we know that in Jesus we have the power to overcome, to free, to release people from this captivity and enslavery to sin? Do we trust the power of Jesus to set people free? Sometimes we think it's hopeless. And I'm sure the parents of this demon-possessed man, they'd given up hope. They said, there's no cure for this guy. We've taken him to the best, the wisest people. If they'd had drugs, we'd have given him mood-altering drugs. They'd have done anything to try to restore him to wholeness. And they'd given up hope. But Jesus comes in when hope seems no more. At moments, we may just give up and we say, well, I'm going to let Satan win. People get what they deserve. If they want to live self-centered lives, if they want to be addicted to whatever, if they want to be enchained in sin, let them have at it. And we close our ears and our eyes and our hearts. I just want you to know today that Jesus can conquer anything. And if he can handle this demon-possessed man, if he can handle the fears of the early disciples, if he can transform fishermen into people who would change the world, he can do amazing things in you and in me and in this church. And in this county and in this sand hill country here. He can do amazing things. But we have to be bold enough to trust him, to believe him, and to know that, yes, even the likes of you and me, he can use. Would you bow with me as we go before God now to just acknowledge our sins and our failures to him? Lord, you know how we are. You know how preoccupied we get with life. Sometimes we fail even to just talk with you or to seek you as the answer to our fears and our doubts. The older we get, the nearer death comes. And we all have anxieties about how we'll handle that and how we'll get through that, even though we know what you have promised. Sometimes, Lord, we've lost our burden for others whose lives are a mess. And we're like the Good Samaritan, and in that we're the priest and the Levite who pass by on the other side and say, "Oh, we don't know what to do with that problem, that situation. It looks beyond hope." And so, Lord, we just live in our own little zone. Forgive us for not having a heart like yours. Forgive us for not taking on the most hopeless situations. And forgive us for not bringing the freedom that you have promised to bring. Thank you, Jesus, for how you do that. Amen. Friends, I want to just tell you that there's no news better than the news which Jesus brings. That because of him and his death on the cross, every addiction, slavery has been conquered. For if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Cherish that. Hold on to that. Cling to that. Amen. We're going to take a moment and we're going to now confess the essential teachings of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Let us stand together as we say these. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Please be seated as we worship God by the bringing of our offerings and by signing the attendance sheets.
Please stand as we worship God in prayer. Dear loving God, with your help, help us to overcome our fears by believing that Jesus has come to set us free so we can serve him and our neighbor. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to take the example of the Good Samaritan by seeing beyond the racial divisions of this world to the will of God, which commands us to love our neighbor, whoever that neighbor might be. Help us as Christians to realize that faith in Jesus is a way to eternal life, a faith which shows itself in our life by our love for God and for our neighbor. Gracious God, we ask you to be with our youth and adults that are attending the National Youth Conference in Minneapolis, returning on Tuesday. Pastor Chris, DCE Matthew, Jody McFarlane, Alex Dodd, Gabe Fairchild, Bennett Jennings, Chelsea Catton, Kim Roskamp, Avery Lay, Daylin McFarlane, and Alicia Hammond. Almighty God, we pray for the leaders of our country that they have respect for our government as an authority you have established. Grant each of us the grace to live peacefully with those in our community, at work, and at church, that our conduct and speech may give honor to you. Into your keeping, we commend all who are serving in our armed forces as they stand ready to defend our country when called upon. Comforter of the weary, help to lighten the burden of those who are caring for their loved ones. Keep them from discouragement and weariness, and grant their loved ones to receive their care with gratitude and thankfulness. Merciful God, we commend to you those who are suffering from bodily affliction, especially Ken Lutz, who is a patient at Unity Point Health Methodist, Joyce Stark-Johan, who was released from OSF St. Francis, Marge Frederick, who is receiving treatment at Hopedale Hospital, and Karen Babb, who is undergoing chemo treatments. Thank you for the successful eye surgery that Ron Weiland had this past week. In a time of silence, we remember others who are having difficulties and now name in our hearts. Grant them healing according to your good will. Thanks be to you, Lord of Life, for Norb Schaefer, who will be celebrating his 90th birthday on Saturday. Continue to bless Norb with your love and care. Lord of Marriage, we celebrate with Carl and Karen Babb, who are observing their 37th wedding anniversary this week. Bless Carl and Karen as their love for you and for each other increases. As we pray daily for families of our congregation this morning, we offer special petitions for the Rich, the Richards, and the Rife families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Heavenly Father, be with those who will be receiving Holy Communion, that we might do so with prepared and penitent hearts, rejoicing in our Savior who visits us with his very body and blood to work the miracle of forgiveness of sins among us. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that you delight to hear the prayers of your people and that you have promised to be gracious to us and to answer us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior, who has taught us his prayer, which we now join together in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
My friends, as we prepare to come and kneel before the Lord's altar here this morning, remember that when this demon-possessed person was in the presence of Jesus, the burden of fear and slavery was lifted from him. This morning at the table, it is our closest encounter this side of heaven with the power and presence of Jesus. May we come into his presence as we receive his very body and blood, knowing that our fears and our slaveries are lifted and we are filled with his freedom. We remember his words once more. Lord Jesus, as you gathered with your first disciples in the upper room, so you gather together with us here this morning. And you invite us to receive just what they received, your very body and blood. We remember the words you spoke that night. You took the bread, you blessed it, you broke it, and you gave it to those disciples as you give it to us. And you said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way also, you took the cup after the supper. And when you had given thanks, you gave it to them like you give it to us here today. And you said, "Take and eat, take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Lord Jesus, come and be strong and mighty and powerful among your people here today as we receive your very body and blood. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. I'll take this and you take the tray. Welcome to the Lord's table, my friend. This is the very body of Christ for you. Take and eat the very body of Christ for you. The very body of Christ given for you. Friends, may this body and blood of our Lord Jesus
thank you.
Comes alive through you and me. When we come back from the Lord's table, I just always think of the words of the psalmist, and this refrain goes throughout the Psalms. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Taste and see that the Lord is good. May you celebrate his goodness to you as you live this week, filled with the joy of his freedom and a sense of his power and presence at work in you. Receive then his promised blessing. The Lord now bless each one of you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. We're going to sing together. We got to stand up to sing this song. You can't sing this song sitting down. We got to stand up to sing this.
Thank you. David, shut the lights off.
I will shut them off. I know that. The audio shut them off. Bill?
Shut. Oh, bring them down, yeah.
When are you going tomorrow?
Going tomorrow.
Well, good. Have a good time.
Thanks. It's going to be hot in the place.
Where are you staying? Where are you staying?
At the top of the rock.
Are you staying there?
Yeah,
good.
That's where they have
it. Oh, that's right. You said that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay, bye.
And you said be sure to drive around there, didn't you?
Yes.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you. Thanks, Carol.
Hi.
You're welcome.
We're out of here.